And the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Sorry, what happened to the music? Oh, there it is. There it is. What happened to the music? We're not a music show. This ain't a music station, I don't imagine. But you got to have something. You got to have a little bit of a break. You got to have a little bit of a marching band. You got to have, you know, you got to have what you got to have. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I apologize there, man. You know, we're, as I say, it's a work in progress, man, as we reboot our radio show. I spent 6 years, folks, and I won't name the company, but I spent the last 6 years with a company that got me into a lot of bad habits. They were nice people, but there was a lot of drug take. I'm kidding about that.
You're gonna get sued if you keep...
Take it easy, Margaret.
You can't say about a drug.
I'm joking. You understand?
Phil, you will get sued if you make jokes like that.
I'm joking. How am I going to get sued if I say I'm joking?
Well, you talking about taking drugs?
How many times do you want me to tell you I'm joking, okay?
Everybody knows when a guy say it's a joke, it's not.
Is that what everybody knows? Well, not everybody knows it, because I don't know it. Are you kidding? Are you high on drugs? This company that I was with for the last 6 years? If there's one thing that there was a short supply of, well...
You're really pushing it, aren't you?
Take it easy. I'm sorry. I got to tell you, the big complaint that I have with that company, the short supply of weed. I'm kidding. This is serious. You're not going to believe this. This is absolutely the serious fact of the matter. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. This is the truth. I haven't engaged in any kind of that sort of activity in decades. Decades and decades. Decades. And I certainly would never mix that and mingle that with my professional life. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 o'clock on the East Coast. Today I gave a series of comments, a series of remarks as I strode across the stage, backward and forward, hither and thither, holding a microphone, and holding forth for my compatriots and colleagues in the radio business. And I, if I may put a technical term on it, I rapped about all kind of thing. We talked about content, and we talked about the fact that the radio business is not doing too good these days, which it ain't, and, you know. But we also talked about the opportunities that are available, the glowing future that is ahead of us, the, you know, all of that horse dung. And it was a beautiful moment. We shared, we hugged, we held hands.
You know, your cynicism, Phil...
Let me just finish what I'm saying.
No, but this is it. I want to say something.
Margaret,
I want to say something because I think what you're doing here is you, if there was such a thing, excuse me for saying this, and I want to ask the indulgence of the audience. Do you remember the old cartoon that you keep reminding everyone of the farmer that has the kicking machine and kicks himself in the rear end when he's outwitted by the mice?
Yes, I do.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the kicking machine.
Well, laugh at this. You've rigged up a machine whereby the boot is kicking you right between the legs, and you've willingly removed your...
Yeah, you've willingly removed your underwear.
Yeah, no support.
No support at all.
I see. So I'm sort of engaging in a self... a self-immolation, if you will.
Yes, to put a word on it. You are subverting your own efforts, Phil. And I think it's wrong, and I think for you to stand there and allow that machine to continue to pummel your manhood...
Well, no, I'm not.
What about the time you said you'd catch Sandy Koufax nude?
What about the time I said I'd catch Sandy Koufax nude? You mean when I was... What are you talking about?
You're talking about the most dangerous thing in the world to do. Was to get down and catch Sandy Koufax, Roger Clemens, any of them nude.
Catch Roger Clemens nude, meaning there's no...
Phil, would you knock it off? You know what they're talking about.
All right, so what are you talking about? Are you saying that me making jokes is like me getting in behind the plate with only a catcher's mitt and no mask?
No mask, no chest guard, no nothing. And you're catching Roger Clemens and all he's doing is throwing breaking balls and knuckleballs.
Okay.
I don't know what's so funny. The point is, you are destroying your very efforts here.
No, I'm not destroying any efforts. I'm talking, I said this to everybody today, and I'm going to say it to my very fine audience. I said this to my fellow professionals today at the Talkers Conference. I said, you have got to see your... And I first of all, I said, let me see a show of hands. How many of you guys are on the air? A lot of hands went up. I thought maybe there'd be a smattering of on-air people and the rest might be programming people. But then I realized programming people are not going to come to a talk given by an air talent about content.
Why not?
Because they're too busy going to lunch with the general manager and talking about how they can, you know, squeeze a few more dollars into the format and a little more content out of it.
See, that's exactly what you're saying, and you ought to not say it.
Will you give me a break? So I said to them, I said, this is a business that is slowly but surely shrinking, but the good news is there's all kinds of platforms. There's all kinds of ways for you to make a living. I said, it's not just about radio now. It's about podcasting. It's about television. It's about big and small television companies, big and small production companies. Netflix, for God's sake, Netflix is producing original material. Netflix used to be a rental platform. It was just a way for you to rent movies. These guys have so much money, they're creating original content. Google is creating original content. TV shows, Hulu is creating original content. So it's no longer about NBC, CBS, Fox, and ABC, and so forth. It's about anybody and everybody. So I told them that. And they left with a big smile on their face, and they all said, thank you, Mr. Henry. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for helping me carry on for one more lousy, stinking day. And I said, you're certainly welcome, Mr. Savage. And I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're going to make my... Yeah, sure.
Oh, take it easy. He said, thank you for...
See, you're going to get your kicks. David's going to call here in a minute.
I don't give a crap if David's going to call. David can call all he wants. He can call twice on Sunday, man. It doesn't make any difference to me. All right, on the show tonight, we have a number of things to get to. NBC has released a poll, if you'll pardon the expression. And in the poll, which I'm sure is not biased at all, they happen to own MSNBC, which is right down the middle politically. And the poll says that the GOP has taken it square in the shorts over this shutdown. The GOP, people hate it like poison. That's according to NBC, which is the same thing as asking the Democratic Party, would you please do a poll on how well the Republicans are doing? Certainly. How are they doing? People hate them like cancer. Thank you. Facebook rips away your ability to hide. What does that headline mean? We're going to talk about it here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with our social media expert, Jeff Dowder. Along with R.C. Collins, he's going to be giving us a look at what they're doing there at Bradley Military Academy to maximize their FaceTime, if you'll pardon the expression. Prison oversight faulted in Ohio captor's death. The only reason why I find this interesting is the state of Ohio is also, I think, the same state that had a serial killer. What was the name of that guy?
I don't know, but his name was Israel something, and he was a real piece of work.
Yeah, I think that guy is real, man.
Right. Is that his name?
No.
Well, then what's his name?
Well, it was Israel something.
Is that the guy's name, Israel?
No.
Then why are you saying it's Israel something?
You gotta give him a name.
Let me ask you a question, man. If you gotta give a guy a name, where'd you come up with Israel?
No, I don't know.
You don't know. Margaret?
No.
How about if we call him Steve?
No.
Yeah, okay. In any event, we'll be talking about how well the state of Ohio is doing in keeping people alive so that we can kill them in a very timely manner. I don't mind a guy dying. I don't like the fact that he's the one that's picking the time and the place. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you. Obama and GOP fail to agree on a debt limit plan. You know, one of the things we got to talk about here tonight, which I think really we need to talk about, and that is, how do I say this and not sound like I hate people? We have to talk about how the American people are the big failures here. It's not the Congress. The American people themselves have failed, and failed miserably. Okay, what?
David.
Did you call him?
I'm supposed to call him up when you say anything that's going to be weird.
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, you're talking about the American people. I heard what you said about the radio industry, and it was being run by the usual slobs and swine. I'm used to that. But now you're taking the American people to task over what's wrong with the country? Did I hear you do that?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind or something?
Why is that wrong?
Because you don't do that. The American people are not responsible for any problem that we have. The American people are the victims of it. Do you understand? The American people are the victims of it. Everyone listening is getting sick at the very words that I'm saying, but ultimately they do agree with it.
That's right, Phil. In other words, the people listening right now are saying, oh, that's ridiculous. We're the ones to blame. But then tomorrow when they wake up and they get angry,
Yeah, they'll say that it's Congress's fault. And for you to blame the American people, Phil, is just another level that you've sunk to in a series of levels that have taken you from being a human to essentially chud. Oh, forget it.
Did he hang up?
What, you just said
he hung. Yeah, I'm staring. You said that he hung.
We're going to take a break, folks.
Didn't know what you said?
We're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I went from being a human being to chud.
What is that?
I don't know, but it was funny. The movie and the thing that he just done did say there. World-famous Phil Henry Show, of course, is online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. And waltz gracefully into the 21st century. Be a member, be a part of the 21st century communication and entertainment revolution by being a member of our BSP family. It is there that you, well, you get the idea. Go to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. Back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, every night till 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, Backstage Pass gets you access to all of our podcasts. And so is David. He called back. David G. Hall, I don't know what the problem is here. I have said, you know, that we don't, I don't want to take that much time up.
We got to take, Phil, when you come on the air and you start talking about the audience being the reason why the country is in the toilet.
I didn't necessarily say the audience, did I?
You're talking about the American people. Who's your audience?
That's a very good point, Phil.
Is it now?
Yes, it is.
I think Margaret's agreeing with me because of the soundness of it.
Well, no, because the way she said that, that's a very good point, Phil.
No, you talk about how she butt kiss? I think she butt kiss.
It is not. Would you speak English, please? This is not me butt kissing. This is me pointing out something. You cannot say the American people are to blame for the problem the country has, even though they are.
No. She can't. You can't go to the bathroom, Margaret. No, you can't get up and go to the bathroom, okay?
Well, why not?
Margaret, look, that was a deal I cut with Phil. You got to stick around and you got to defend your position, okay? And excuse me for saying that.
Yeah, watch how you say those things, how you put those things together.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that.
What did I do?
Well, she said that you want her to stay, right?
Yeah.
To defend her position.
Yes.
And she wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
All right, I'm just saying, would you please watch how those two things are juxtaposed, because it sounds like you got her sitting on a toilet.
Oh, will you get serious, for God's sake?
No, Phil, that's very valid.
No, that is not valid at all. You guys are just trying to veer it away here from the topic, and the topic is the following. It's about time that somebody said to the American people straight up, you want to know why this country is in the state that it's in? Because of you knuckleheads. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. We're the guys that voted these jackballs into office. What is it with this daily carping about Congress this and approval rating this, approval rating that? The people of this country don't put 5 seconds worth of thought into the leaders they select sometimes. So you get bad leadership, and you are either blaming the other guy for electing him, or you're just blaming the fates, but God knows it ain't your fault.
Well, what about the guy that voted for Obama's a Democrat. What about a guy that voted for the Republicans?
Well, thanks for the Congress, then.
All right, well, then what about the ones that voted for the Democrats? See, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it's going to have to start working that way.
The math isn't going to come out.
I don't give a damn.
Phil, you can't force this on people. They'll just reject it outright.
No, I know that. I know that. If there's one thing that this country has, it's a population of people that have never been able to handle the truth about themselves. Unless it's a whole lot of ass-kissing. But if you want the real truth, man, as to why America is sitting stagnating on the edge of this so-called debt ceiling, crisis, shutdown, bull crap, who knows, It's because we've got a population of people spending more time with their thumb up their ass on Facebook than anything else.
Well, you just did it there, friend.
I just said it. So what are you
going
to do?
Well, you just cut your own throat. And today, going in front of that radio meeting and saying that the place you were in was a dump.
I didn't say a dump.
Well, you said it off the air.
Oh, well. I said it off the air. I said it to you, and I said it to a few select subscribers. I didn't say it on the air.
Well, you did say it.
I didn't say it on the air.
You said it off the air. That's good enough for me. Now, look, I got a young lady here who I love very much, Daphne.
Let me guess. She's got to get donuts?
She's got to get donuts.
Did I say that?
He said that she was talking. She heard that. Hey, you know something? I'm going to have to hang up because I'm so offended.
Yeah. I love how he gets out of that one.
Well, you know, you did say about a donut, and his girlfriend, he's very protective of her.
You know what? He's protective of her when it's convenient for him to be protective of her. Anyway, folks, welcome back to reality after that little jaunt. Obama and the GOP fail to agree on a debt limit plan. See, all this news, you know, it's...
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to do a whole 3 hours of bummer about how the American people are a bunch of imbeciles? Phil, it won't play, I tell you. It's not going to work that way. You might as well talk about what you usually talk about, how the Tea Party and the rest of them are a bunch of mother jumpers.
Yeah, talk about how the Tea Party a bunch of mother lovers.
Oh, man. Man.
What?
Now, how the Tea Party's a bunch of mother lovers, huh? Oh, who cares? You know, the Tea Party, they're just being what they are. They're just being what they are, which is whatever that is. They're just being what they are, which is Michelle Biden, is she Tea Party, by the way?
Yes.
Well, she believes it's end time. She believes that Obama's funding Al-Qaeda and the end of the world is near. She's coming unglued, man. I'm telling you, she is, like, way out there. She was captured on actual video and audio tape saying some things. If this were another time and another place and we had more time and we didn't have other things to do, I'd recommend signing the papers on her and have her in a 72-hour hold. I'm not kidding you. Because when you stand in front of a Congress, in front of a body such as the Congress, the House of Representatives, and your remarks are on the record, and you're talking about how because of Obama this and Al-Qaeda that, we are reaching the end times, I think you belong in a straitjacket.
Well, now you've done it, because you could probably sue you on that.
No, she can't. No, she can't sue me on that.
Why not?
Because it's my personal opinion, that's why. If you want, we can get Dr. Jim Sadler on here, or we can get Dr. Ron Tarner on here, or any head shrinker that you want to get on here. Art Griego spent time in a lunatic asylum, and so did...
They don't call it a lunatic, good God.
In a forensic hospital, and so did Herb Sewell. Get Herb on the line, okay?
He's going to talk about child.
No, he will not talk about child molesting. Get Herb Sewell on the line and find out what he thinks, man, about Michelle. I already know what he thinks about her. He can't stand her. Herb Sewell is a guy that, did we get him? Boy, we got a hotline to all of these guys.
Well, when it comes to some perv like Sewell, I would rather you lose the phone number.
He's on the phone. How you doing, Herb?
I'm doing very well, Phil. And Margaret, I love you, too.
Well, you know, Herb, I don't know why we need to have a man that spent time inside for child molestation as a news consultant.
Well, because the man called me up here, this Dickman, I'm in the middle of a research project. If you want to talk with me, we can talk, Phil.
Well, where are you going?
Wouldn't you like to know? It's none of your business, and by court order, I can't tell you. But I am traveling by car, and I will tell you, I'm in the San Joaquin Valley. And I will also tell you that I just passed through the Grapevine on the Interstate 5, and I had a very fond memory of kicking Berlin out of the car. You so readily recall.
Oh, my God. That was the poor woman that you kicked out of the car because she talked too much.
Because she talked too... Did you call me up to upset me, Mr. Hendry?
No, I did not. Margaret, I called you up to ask your opinion about Michelle Bachmann.
Then you did call me up to upset me.
No, I called you up to ask your... No, I did not.
Because that woman was the one that I saw... You're going to ask me about the comments she made in front of Congress. I'm very much prepared to do that. But I do not want to speak to Margaret Gray, and I do not want to address the incident having to do with my wife, Berlin, other than the fact it's a very fond memory of mine. She lived, she's fine, she's the mother of those children, but she wouldn't shut up, and so she goes out at the top of the grapevine,
You are uncharacteristically ill-humored tonight.
I'm usually having a much better night, but this evening not.
All right, we're going to take a break and go into some commercials, and then we'll talk with you, okay?
Whatever. You know, I'm in the middle. I'm driving here, Phil. I just got a good feeling remembering kicking her out of the car at 65 miles an hour. And
just hold on the line here, and we'll be right back here with our good man, Herb Sewell. I say good. It's all relative, you know.
Yes, it is all relative. I think that man is...
Well, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Coming up on Sunday, it's another... are we having another game of the week, or is it because Ted Bell has that... Ted Bell had asthma.
Yeah, Ted Bell had asthma on a game of the week. I don't know.
Well, then, if it's not Ted Bell, it's going to be Steve Bozell doing the game solo again, but we should have a game of the week at philhenryshow.com on Phil TV starting at 1:30 on Sunday. And by the way, get a backstage pass to our website, a BSP, and brother, you have a free download. It's there for you to see. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Oh, baby.
Just take it easy. Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Herb Sewell is on the line with us here from somewhere on the Interstate 5. We're not allowed to know where. And I certainly understand that, Herb. So anyway, getting away from the topic of your mother and getting away from the...
We're not talking about mother. We're not talking about her. We're talking about my wife. We're talking about Patrice.
Right. I'm sorry. Well, how did we... why was I talking about your mother? Or was I talking about your mother?
No, I hope you weren't talking about my mother. You weren't talking about my mother to me. You know, I don't recall that.
Well, Herb, you were talking about pushing your wife out of a car.
Yes, I was talking about pushing my wife out of a car. Do me a favor and let me talk with Mr. Henry, because you know that my relationship with women is not good. And it's not particularly good with you, Margaret.
Well, you're not going to stifle my self-expression.
I'm not going to stifle... That's a good one. Woo! Oh, man.
You see, I can hear he's trying to threaten me, because I know what he and Walter Boohaven, or whatever the man's name is...
Bellhaven. The man's name is Walter Bellhaven. Do you understand?
I understand that that man is in prison for murder, and that he's a very good friend of yours.
Yeah, well, he's a very good friend of mine, which doesn't mean that I'm a murderer. I was not convicted of any murder.
Can I ask you a question?
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
What?
You never killed anybody, right?
I never killed anyone, and I resent the fact that you would bring that up while Ms. Gray sits there in all of her decrepitude...
How dare you say that to me? Do you know what I represent to this city?
Well, I don't know. It's one more load of garbage that they've got to take to a landfill. You tell me. I'm taking a wild guess.
All right. Stop it.
You know something? I don't have to put up with this.
Hold on. Stop it. I'm talking to her. Margaret, stay out of it. And we were talking about Michelle Bachmann.
Well, hold on. Michelle Bachmann, how does this nut qualify to talk about her?
Because I was in a nut house. That's how.
Does that make you a doctor?
Margaret, be quiet for a minute.
Now, it doesn't make me a doctor, but I'll tell you this much, Margaret. Let me say this. Walter Bellhaven described to me once taking a pair of stockings and wrapping them around a woman's...
Oh, my God.
He was not talking about just any woman. He was talking about a woman that was running her mouth about politics. And he was sitting at a function. It was a luncheon that he was at. And he was listening to this woman that his wife had dragged him to this thing, Bunny Bellhaven. Now, you that Bunny is the only woman in the world, is the only thing in this world that Walter is afraid of, you know? That, to me, I was getting a big kick out of that, because Walter isn't afraid of much. But, by God, he is scared to death of his wife, you know?
And she's the one that that got that skull back from Alameda County, right?
She's exactly the one, yes. So she goes to war for Walter, but he's frightened of it. Now, he was at a luncheon. It was some tea party for some political hack. And Walter finally had it with this one woman who was going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. She'd led the, and by the way, she'd led the morning prayer. And she'd done this whole, I pledge allegiance to the flag, etc. Now, not that Walter is not patriotic. But he doesn't like the mixture of religion and patriotism, and he certainly doesn't like the mixture of patriotism and religion when a woman is involved. You know, he tells me, as soon as the coast was clear, I followed this woman into the ladies' restroom, and I had a pair of bunny stockings with me, which I usually keep on me.
I'm not going to listen to this.
Margaret, sit down. You're a journalist. You're a broadcaster. Okay?
And what does that mean?
It means you sit and you listen and you absorb and you comment. You don't run away.
You tell her, Phil.
You tell me the story. I'll talk to her. So Walter follows this woman into the ladies' room?
Followed her into the ladies' room. He always kept a pair of Bunny's pantyhose at that time. Women don't wear pantyhose any longer, I don't think. Don't ask me how I know that. But,
yeah, that's fine.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I think I'm going to vomit. I'm going to vomit, Phil.
Are you really going to get sick?
Is that woman going to be sick?
It looks like it. You all right?
No, I'm not.
Better go in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Hope you don't vomit on the floor and everything. I got to mop it up.
Wouldn't you like to... I mean, not... Oh, yeah.
I think she's faking it.
Just tell me the story. So you follow her into the can.
I follow her into the ladies' can. Not me. What do you mean I did? Walter did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Walter did.
Right. He follows her into the ladies' can. He pulls out these stockings. And he says to her, excuse me, Mrs. So-and-so, what did you say it would cost North County to put that sewer system in again? She heard a man's voice, and yet she was so in love with the sound of her own opinions that she wheeled about to give this opinion, not realizing that it was a man in the ladies' room. And Walter said that he caught her, and this is what I don't think that murder is right, Phil. But believe me, I don't think that murder is right. But you have to admire how he caught her in mid-sentence. And he caught this woman in mid-sentence, and what happened was the following thing. She wheels around, he looks at her, and he says, could you give me the opinion again about the cost of the sewer system in North County? And she said, why, certainly. And that's when he struck with the pantyhose, and she went, I think it'll cost a buck, like that. And Walter, he demonstrated it for me. Now, I do not believe in murder. I do not believe at all in the taking of human life, but you have to admire the artistry of that.
The artistry?
Yes.
Here this guy took a woman's life. Walter Belhaven is a serial murderer. Now, we all know this.
Of course, Phil. You don't have to get all dramatic and Robert Stack on me. I understand, okay?
I'm not getting all dramatic and Robert Stack, but I'm just saying Walter Belhaven is a murderer. And what you're describing to me is a murder that he committed. Was this one that he was convicted for?
Yes. Okay. Does that make you feel better there, Dick Tracy? Yes.
What is with all the sarcasm, man?
What are you leaning on me for? You called me up to try to get an opinion about Michelle Bachman. There's my opinion. If Walter Belhaven had been around, Michelle Bachman wouldn't be bedeviling us these days. Now, would she?
You know, I'm going to let you go, man, okay?
Okay, man. You know, Phil, everything's fine when it's going your way. I'm in the middle of a very serious research project. I'm on my way up into the guts of the San Joaquin Valley, and who knows what kind of inbred horror I will meet there. And yet I take time out to talk with...
Why did you hang up on him?
Well, you're the one that's all bellyaching about I got a pervert on the phone. Did you throw up?
Yes, I did throw up. Yes, I did.
When?
About 3 years ago. I'm kidding. No, yes, I did. I was very sick.
All right, so Michelle Bachman, had Walter Belhaven been around, would not be bedeviling us today. So says Herb Sewell there from his car as he's on his way up to the middle of the San Joaquin Valley, and who knows what inbred horror awaits him there. His words, not mine. He said it, I didn't. A couple of news notes. Mercury 7 astronaut Scott Carpenter has passed on. The second American to orbit Earth died on Thursday. He was 88 years of age. We have lost a true pioneer. I shall long remember him not only for his smarts and courage, but his incredible humor. He kept us all grounded, said NASA Administrator Charlie Bolden. Now, is he the guy that was played by Dennis Quaid in The Right Stuff? Is that the guy?
What movie's that?
The Right Stuff was the movie. It was a book about the astronauts, and it was a great book by Tom Wolfe called The Right Stuff. And in the book, he describes the very brash... I don't know whether it was Scott Carpenter or Pete Conrad. It might have been Pete Conrad. That Dennis Quaid played one of the astronauts as just a brash and very, very full of himself kind of character, really... thought he was the world's greatest thing since sliced bread, the best pilot, the best this, the best that. I mean, he played it in a very charming way, but I'm just wondering if that was the guy. Carpenter was one of the original Mercury 7 astronauts chosen by NASA, which said he died from complications after a stroke. He was a backup pilot for John Glenn, ahead of America's first manned orbital flight in 1962. Carpenter flew the second American manned orbital flight in May of that year. Flight time was 4 hours, 54 minutes. Carpenter's spacecraft overshot its landing target by 250 nautical miles, giving rise to fears about his fate.
Would you like me to read that? Because it sounds like you're ready to...
Yeah, there's no stroke in your family, is there?
Give me that. No, there isn't. Not for a long time, anyway. Would you like me to read that?
Well, I'd be happy to...
I got it. With Carpenter's death, Glenn is the lone survivor of the Mercury 7 program. Wow.
What's that?
Well, Mercury 7 was the very first manned program. That was those were the first guys to go into space. The Mercury program. And there were seven. John Glenn, Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, that's the guy that Dennis Quaid played. Gordo Cooper. Virgil Gus Grissom.
What is his name?
It's Gus Grissom.
No, it's Virgil. See, you do this on purpose.
No, I got it, man. It's Virgil Buck.
Give me that. Don't be grabbing copy out of my hand, you guys. I told you that, okay?
I'll do it. It's Gurgle Buck.
Jimmy, Gurgle.
Well, that's what you said.
What is his name is...
Here, I got it. I got my glasses. It's Gus... Gus Buck...
Give me the thing and let me do it. I know how to read and I speak English as well, bud.
So do I. Gurgle Bus...
Gurgle Bus?
It's Virgil Gus Grissom.
Well, you know, what source are you citing?
The thing I'm reading. Is that good enough for you? What I'm reading right here?
What's that?
Let's see. I don't know. Gee, it's a CNN news story.
They're biased.
Yeah, you're right. CNN is biased, you guys. I'm going to have to double check to find out whether his name was Virgil Gus Grissom or whether it was Bus Gurgle.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Gray. I am going to let you... That's all right, Phil.
I can't take it.
I'm going to let Phil rest during this next break. I'm looking here. It says Virgil Gus Grissom, fine. But it's CNN, which is a very, very slanted journal. And I have been talking to some people on Facebook, and they've got me convinced that we can't trust certain websites. Snopes, CNN... NBC, AP, Reuters, and WhiteHouse.gov. So I'm going to look into this.
But if that is Bus Gurgle.
It could be Virgil Bus Gurgle. But we'll find out here when we come back here, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I'm very, very sorry. We'll be right back. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, the same Bus Grissom.
Two, one. All right, Phil Hendry Show here online at philhendryshow.com as well. Pardon me, I had a meltdown, but we all have them, don't we? We don't? Well, I just had one.
Yeah, you sure did. You really did.
Well, you know what? It's not often that I have a staff of people on air or otherwise that are arguing about the name of a guy whose name is Virgil Gus Grissom, and it comes out as Bus Gurgle. You know, but that's just me. That's not you. That's me. That's on me, not you. Welcome, folks, to our program, and again, we are online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and find out what it are all about. And my thanks again to the fine people at Talkers. I had a little presentation that I did there today, and I said to them, mirth-filled as I was, that, you know, it's going to be fine, and radio's a lot of fun. And then I came here. And of course, all of that just fell apart.
Oh, you can't blame us,
Phil. That is wrong.
No, well, you know, when I come in here and I'm hearing Bus Gurgle, you know. So anyway, I thought we had our very deep, close, personal friend Bob Bakian. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Bob Bakian is going to be on the phone here in a minute, and he is going to be reporting on
Virgil Gus Grissom.
Right. He'll be reporting on that. In a very short time, but right now we're having a little bit of interference in terms of where he is and how do we have him? We have him now. Let's see.
Okay, Bob Bakian is online from Los Angeles International Airport. Bob, you there?
Yep, right here, man. Reporting just from the tarmac of LAX, waiting for a very distinguished visitor of ours to return. Is our Griego coming back in? Was out testing the new Lear 3, which is a private Learjet commuter jet, and we're excited about that. Those of us in aviation are very excited about it indeed.
All right, now you followed the Mercury program for a number of years as a reporter in Florida, Bob, isn't that true?
That is correct, yes.
And you were a radio reporter then?
Well, so I was jack of all trades. I was not a radio reporter, but I was a television reporter too. And most of the time I was reporting by way of a news helicopter in those days. We used news airplanes as well. But we were out over the landing site, over the crash site there, not the crash site, but the splash site of Virgil Gus Grissom, Scott Carpenter, Bus Gurgle.
You just said Bus Gurgle.
So there was an astronaut named Bus Gurgle.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was not Bus Gurgle. That was Virgil Buck Brickham and Buck Rogers, but I think.
Buck Brickham?
No, there's Buck Rogers. I'm sorry, Phil, no, there was no Buck Rogers.
There was no Buck Rogers, there was Virgil Gus Grissom. Tell me, let's get off of Virgil Gus.
Virgil Gus Grissom.
Thank you. Let's forget about him for 5 seconds, and let's talk about Scott Carpenter, the kind of guy he was, the kind of man he was, the kind of pilot he was. What can you tell me?
Not much. I've never met him.
Okay. Is there anything you can...
I can tell you that he was a fine pilot, at least in the opinion of NASA. That's all I know about him. And I also know that he was a pilot aboard Mercury 7 because he got out of the capsule. And I said, who's that? They said, that's Scott Carpenter. Don't tell that to Bob Bakian here, report.
What is it with him? He gets to just go right off whenever he's done, right?
I guess he thought you were done.
Well, no, I wasn't done, necessarily, but...
Well, get him back on?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I don't want to talk to that moron now. I just got done saying, tell me about Scott Carpenter. Oh, I never met him. All right,
Well, see, you're laughing an awful lot, Phil, and people are getting a mixed message on that.
Let him get a mixed message. I could give a sweet you-know-what. In all deference to the passing of this fine man, Scott Carpenter, it was, as you were saying, Robert, I probably would have done a lot better had I just started talking about this myself. It was the very first manned program, the Mercury program. What came after the Mercury program was the Gemini program. The Gemini program was the program that would see how man did in space over long periods of time, how man did in space as he was working in space. It also was the very preliminary steps towards spacewalking, for instance. Would we be able to go outside of the craft and, if possible, repair the craft? We didn't actually have, I don't think they ever actually effected any repairs. But Gemini was an orbital program that allowed us to study the effects of space travel on our astronauts over long, extended periods of time. It was also a multiple astronaut program, meaning it was the first program where we had two astronauts, Gemini, meaning two.
Is that why it was called Gemini?
I don't know, but I just figured it out right now, so yeah, I think I'll say that that's what it was, okay?
Okay, so you're just guessing, but you're saying officially.
Yeah, I'm guessing, but I'm just going to say it's official and let people go throughout their lives quoting me, and then when they find out that I was wrong, they'll look stupid. I won't. I'll be dead and buried. Thank you. Now, anyway, so Gemini was that part of the space program where we learned about the multiple-person crew, where we learned more about man in space and his ability to work and to rest and to just operate in space, the human organism, if you will, over long periods of time in outer space. Then came Apollo.
That's when it blew up, right?
No, that's not the one that blew up.
There were a lot of different Apollo flights, you imbecile.
What?
Bud, shut up. The one that blew up.
Everybody knows Apollo blew up.
No, not everybody knows Apollo blew up. There were like 17 or whatever the hell, 14 Apollo flights, okay? Apollo 1 was very tragic in that it caught fire on the pad. They were going through some preliminary steps. They were going through a testing phase, and those poor men were trapped inside that capsule, and there was a fire, and they lost their lives. And this is one of those moments in any kind of dangerous endeavor, any kind of highly experimental endeavor that you don't want to have happen. You pray to God it doesn't happen, but oftentimes they do. There are failures at every turn when you are seeking something perhaps that you've never sought before, when you're looking to climb the heights, man. And in this instance, we were looking to go to the moon, the very first time that any human being had ever done that. So Apollo 1, yes. And Apollo 13, yes. But the Apollo flights, if I may continue, Mr. Dickman.
Certainly.
The Apollo flights now were the first flights that left the orbit of Earth, as well as stayed in the orbit of Earth and conducted tests with the LEM and the command module.
Well, which is it? Did it leave or didn't it?
Take it easy. You're going to confuse me, and I'm going to be calling somebody Bus Gurgle here in a minute. I'm going to really get pissed off, okay?
I understand.
All right. It stayed in Earth orbit to test the docking and the separation of the lunar module and the command module, as well as testing other systems aboard these eventual lunar vehicles. And then it also went to the moon, Apollo 8, which orbited the moon. And Apollo 8 was the very first time any human being ever orbited the moon. So that was a monumental moment. And then, of course, came that great Apollo 11 flight when they landed on the moon.
You sure it was Apollo 11?
Yes, I am. When they landed on the moon... Yeah, it was Apollo 11. Don't bug me, man. Apollo 11 landing on the moon for the very first time in the history of the human race that we left Earth and landed on a another...
On another planet.
Well, it wasn't a planet. It was, we landed on another thing, yeah, on a moon, you know.
Well, did we land on another planet or didn't we?
We landed on the moon, okay?
I know that. Is that a planet?
It's a moon! World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We landed on another moon. We'll be right back. So, I want to tell you something right now. The Obama and John Boehner discussions that have either been going on halfway or not halfway or full of, all the way, I don't know what, these things are in and of themselves kind of a sideshow. Now, I don't know whether or not there is going to be a, quote, default or a deal or whether we're going to have, whether we're going to fund the government or any of that stuff. I don't know if any of that's going to happen. And I don't even know, and I don't think anybody listening to me knows, if that really is going to make a difference in the overall, you know. You know what I'm saying about that? In other words, if it's going to make a difference as to the well-being of the government, if we keep on with this shutdown and nobody gets paid and there's a bunch of guys that are thrown out of work, does that mean it's kind of like when Reagan threw all those air traffic controllers out of work? You know, when everybody was thrown out of work and they still were able to make it happen. You see what I'm saying?
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that that's a good thing?
No, I'm wondering just how serious this stuff gets, is all I'm saying. I wonder how serious it is. When a so-called government shutdown of a union or anything else for that matter occurs, and they say it's going to be disastrous, and it isn't disastrous after all. And the thing that I remember is when the air traffic controllers were thrown out of work, and they thought it was going to be the worst thing that ever happened, and they wound up basically, they got rid of the union, and they hired a whole bunch of new guys. I mean, it put a lot of air traffic controllers out of work, but it put a lot of guys back to work or in work for the first time as air traffic controllers. So, you know, I mean, there's six of one, half a dozen of the other there. Let's talk here with Jack Armstrong, who is a liberal blogger with the Huffington Post. And we'll also have General Galen Shaw on the line with us momentarily. So, Jack, you hear what I'm saying?
Well, I think if I understand what you're saying, is you're saying that the government shutdown ultimately is going to be something that is good for the country. And I think that's what a lot of conservatives want to have happen. I think they want to prove that a lot of these jobs that have been compromised are going to be compromised, and it's not going to cost the country anything. I think that's what you're saying. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm not trying to say that. I'm thinking that that's what they're thinking.
Well, if that's what they're thinking, then that's what they're thinking. I don't even know if it's occurred to them to think that. But are you thinking that?
Doesn't make any difference what I'm thinking.
Well, I think it does, because if that's your opinion, it goes against everything that I felt that you knew.
No, it doesn't go against everything that you felt that I knew. What are you talking about, man?
Is that your opinion?
My opinion is this, that putting those people out of work is a bad thing. But my opinion is that there are things that are tried all the time by one side or the other that work out for them. There are things that are tried all the time by one side or the other that are predicted to be ultimate disasters, and it never works out that way. I just gave the example of when Reagan fired all those air traffic controllers, okay? They said that the skies would be unsafe. They said that it would be an absolute disaster, and it turned out that he replaced all of those guys.
All right, so what you're doing is you're sounding like a right-winger, like all of those right-wing Facebook people that you talk about that want the healthcare program to fall apart. So that...
Hold on for just a minute. General Galen Shaw from Washington, D.C. is also on the line with us. General Shaw, the question that I have here is it possible that the government shutdown is going to get rid of certain jobs that are not needed? Is it possible the government shutdown is going to get rid of jobs that at least are seen to be extraneous and that the country can do without?
Phil, I think it's entirely possible, and I think Mr. Armstrong knows that, and I think that's probably why he's going into your traditional liberal tizzy or the liberal panic or inability to breathe, and I find that to be a very unfortunate thing.
I don't have no inability to breathe.
Well, hold on for just a moment, sir, while I finish what I'm saying.
Let's just one person at a time.
I did hear you say to Mr. Henry, is that how you think? Is that how you think?
No, I'm trying to figure out, you know, where he's coming from, you know?
Where he's coming from? You mean the talk show host's opinion is important to you?
I think it's important to his listeners to want to know.
But why is that important? The discussion here is whether or not there are jobs in the federal government that we can do without, and will this shutdown point out which ones those are?
Well, which ones do you think they are, then, General? Maybe they're the ones of the military or something like that. You think maybe we can do without the military?
Well, that's about as stupid a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's a government job.
Well, the military is not shut down, but what has been shut down are some of these jobs, as park rangers, for instance. Some of these jobs of people manning these memorials or monuments. Perhaps they don't have to be open as long. There are jobs of guided tours of a missile silo.
Guided tours of a missile silo?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying.
You want to put together a list of the jobs that you think are going to be, you know, are going to be extraneous, as you say?
I'd like to put together a list of the countries that you come from, because here again, I heard you deny to another guest.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I don't want to speak about this.
Yeah, every guest we get on here that debates Jack, they want to know where he's from. And I just don't think that that's something we need to talk about, if you don't mind, General, because it's been gone through.
Well, it is disturbing, and I'm sure the audience understands, listening to this man's staccato phrasing, it's bothering me, and I'm telling you that I want to know.
I'm going to say to you again, what are the jobs that are extraneous that need to be gotten rid of?
Any job that involves you, Mr. Armstrong.
Okay, General... All right, see, there you go. General Shaw is now gone. I have with me still Jack Armstrong. So General Shaw is gone, and it has to do with your accent. Maybe I need to...
No, it's got to do with my accent. What are you talking about? It's got nothing to do with my accent. What it has to do with, Phil, is the inability of people to debate the issue, and they want to make it about my ethnic origin. I'm American. I've said this many times. I'm not going to go into it anymore.
All right, fine. Let me get Larry Grover on the phone here. And Larry, you have assured me that we don't have to make his ethnicity an issue. Larry Grover joining us from Culver City. Larry, the question on the table, and you are decidedly anti-Obama, is this government shutdown, will it get rid of jobs that are extraneous? Will it get rid of jobs that we find the country can do without?
Thank you very much. And Jack, you know, I don't care where you're from. I get irritated like anyone else listening to what I think is an accent. But hey, see, Mr. Henry, he just made the comment. You know?
No, I did not. I said I'm willing to make the commentary without talking about his accent.
Go ahead.
The jobs that I would say can be gotten rid of, as General Shaw pointed out, could be these jobs that have to do with park service, jobs that have to do with giving guided tours. And I don't know if they give guided tours of missile silos, but they give guided tours of the different monuments. And I don't mean the war memorials. I mean monuments that are not to our war dead. Well, are you willing to say which ones that those is? Oh, man, I hate this accent that this guy's got. I told you, Mr.
All right, so we had to hang up on him as per our agreement. He mentioned your accent, Jack. I apologize again.
Well, it just goes to show you, you know, these guys can't debate a topic without bringing up my ethnicity. And I think that it needs to be pointed out and needs to be to spoken of.
All right, let's take a break here. We have Jack Armstrong with us. What other conservatives have we got?
We'll dig a couple up now. No, we got Ted Bell.
Ted Bell, he's a good conservative businessman. We'll get him on the phone here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, unless, of course, you have that memorized and you have that embroidered on a doily someplace or you tattooed it on the inside of your thigh. World famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Jack Armstrong with us. We got Ted Bell is going to be up with us here in just a second to talk about this shutdown and what jobs may actually be affected and therefore what jobs may actually be not needed. And what I mean by that is going back in time and history, Jack, you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I think you reset the table a few times. I don't think you need to do it no more.
Well, I think I do. What is it with you all of a sudden?
Well, I talked to Jack off the air, and he said that you're getting a bit redundant.
Hey, excuse me, Jack. I'll figure this out, okay?
I apologize, Phil. I didn't mean to say it on the radio. I just, you got to keep setting it up, or we could get four more phone calls.
Yeah, man, I got to keep... Wow.
Hey, Jack, don't tell him how to do it. He gonna tell you how to do it.
Well, one thing that they ain't gonna tell me how to do it is you. You know.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. Everybody here on the air right now, Jack, is higher than you on the food chain. You understand that?
Oh, baby, you're trying to tell me. Oh, man.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Hey, read this and weep, my friend. I do a blog. I do a Huffington Post, you know.
You do Huffington? God.
You know something, Phil? If you got a guy sitting there who wants to be a jackball...
Hold on for a minute, both of you guys. You take direction from me, Jack, or anybody here, not from you. You don't go your own way. You don't talk about how you think it ought to be or any of that other crap. Now, I got a big enough problem on this radio show trying to keep the personalities in check. I don't need you flipping your lid. From Ted's of Beverly Hills is Ted Bell. Ted, we thank you. How you doing?
Bill, I'm doing very good, and I want to say hello to Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good, and I'm trying to make head or tail of the things that are being said today.
Now, Phil, you want me to go ahead?
Well, I just want you guys to know what the debate here is. The debate is what jobs may be spotlighted or highlighted by this shutdown to the extent that even after the shutdown is ended, they may be able to say, wow, we don't need these jobs. Let's get rid of them permanently.
All right. Okay. That's my understanding of the debate. Now, the other thing that I also was told, don't reference Jack's accent. Is that it?
That is correct, because everybody that tries to debate me does the same thing. They go, what country do you come from? What country do you come from? And they don't, they never stick to the point. I come from America. You know, enough said.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to know what the ground rules were.
Okay, you got the ground rules? We will.
I certainly do.
All right, we will start off with you.
Just one thing I want, Eddie, go ahead and close the door to the kitchen because I'm listening to nothing but, yeah. Phil, I think it's a great point. I think that the jobs that I'm Ted Bell, and of course I run a business here in Beverly Hills. That is the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. It is one of the premier steakhouses and restaurants in America. I think that given the fact that I am absolutely expert in knowing which jobs I need and which jobs I don't, I think it's very, very important to note that individuals like myself are paramount in identifying these jobs.
Now then, can I just say something here? Whoa, Caballero. He said that I get to say what I want to say. Okay, but you're talking like it's taking you too long to do it. All right, Phil, do I got to listen to this? Oh, baby, you almost said something about me being from another country. No, I did not. I'm asking Mr. Henry, do I got to listen to this guy?
No, you do not. Jack, let Ted spit it out at his own speed.
Well, okay, that's what she said, you know. Oh, man, what a crude creep. What a crude creep.
You know, I don't want to hear that, Jack.
Jack, not good, okay?
What did I say? I said that's what she said. That is you're a crude creep for saying that in the presence of a lady. Who's the lady? You? You know, okay, you know something? I don't care if I do get bounced off the air. You sound like some stupid-ass Puerto Rican, no good... Okay, great. I hope you kicked him off the air, Phil, because that's the third guy now, the third guy that has been ethnic with me. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about something right now.
What's that?
I'm thinking about how you have baited these guys. You've baited everybody into this.
What? What are you talking about? I didn't bait nobody into nothing.
Yeah, you did. You're talking to Ted and flipping him out. And then that's what she said.
Yeah, that whole that's what she said thing.
What about that's what she said? Well, that's what she said. Well, I don't want to call Ted a she, but, you know, I mean, for me.
You know, I'm very, very sympathetic to you, Jack, but you are putting on an act this evening that makes me want to kick you straight in your testicles. I really do. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, okay. That's about the extent of that, the way that I figured that. Okay, that's just great.
All right, we got one more conservative, and Jack, I'm telling you right now, I am beginning to get the very distinct impression that you are baiting these guys and you are causing this because you want it to happen. So if it happens again, I'm just going to go ahead and make the call. It's your fault.
Oh, man, that's so unfair. That's so unfair. That's so unfair. That's so unfair.
Shut up!
Well, it is.
We got Frank Gray is calling us this evening. We've called it. We got Frank?
Frank, how are you there? Frank, are you there?
Yeah, Frank Gray.
Okay, Frank, we got Jack Armstrong. Okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Jack, you there?
Hey, Frank, my man, this is Jack Armstrong. How do you do?
I'm fine, and I don't know why I got to talk to her, but...
I still see that you have gender confusion. Oh, well. So, do you want me to kick it off, Phil?
Go ahead.
Anytime, sweetie.
Yeah, okay.
Is she going to get going, or...
Hey, you know, let me tell you something. Don't call me she.
Oh, what's the matter? Are your nerves getting rattled now, Jack?
No, my nerves not getting rattled. No.
I don't know what she's talking about, but I wish to God she'd start. Would you tell her to start?
Jack, you got to start.
Tell him not to call me a her.
Would you please tell her to start?
Don't call me a her!
Wow.
Let me get Frank back on the phone. That was absolutely beautiful, although Frank doesn't know what he did. Frank, honey.
Well, what happened to her?
He's gone.
What are you talking about? Is he there?
Who?
My wife.
I'm right here.
What happened to her?
He's gone. I told you.
Well, what happened to her?
Well, apparently he got upset with the fact that... Never mind, honey,
He doesn't know the gender confusion?
No, he doesn't.
You know, the two of you talking, I'm listening to her talking to my wife, and he's talking back to the host, and she and him are having a conversation. I wish somebody would talk to me.
Nothing, Frank. You did a great job. You flipped Jack Armstrong out, and that's all we needed, okay?
Well, I don't think you should come on too biased politically for the right wing, but I'm very happy I could have done it.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hang up on him, will you? He's snoring.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so there goes Frank Gray. Boy, I'll tell you, this program tonight is about as weird a show as I've ever been involved in. It's about as weird a show as I have ever put my name on. And what happened to Jack Armstrong there?
It sounded to me like he finally lost it. He flipped his lid when Frank kept calling her, which can only lead me to believe that he is Latin or of that culture where macho is everything.
You think that's it?
Well, yes, I do, Phil, but you don't have to lean back in your seat like it's a big thing. You think that I don't... One, I don't care if Jack Armstrong lives or dies. I really don't. I don't care if he lives or if he is fed into some kind of a sausage-making machine after the show. It matters not to me.
Okay, well, there it is. Jack Armstrong debating three different conservatives. I'm going to tell you my read on this, and it is the following thing. It is...
I think they'll probably get rid of the jobs, no question.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Do you mind if I say something?
Oh.
My read on what's happening in Washington as it pertains to the jobs.
A lot of jobs will go away, though. I agree with them. I just wanted to say that.
Sorry.
Okay. My feeling on these jobs... Somebody want to say something?
Yeah, I think they're going to go away.
There will be ones that go away.
Great, great. Everybody done?
I agree with them.
Fine. My feeling is that some of the... Well, you just said it, so...
Yes, what's the point?
Never mind. All right, we're going to be coming back here, folks, so enough about the debt ceiling and the limit and the shutdown and the everything else, man, okay? There's a new movie out. You probably have been seeing the advertisements for it called Captain Phillips, and it's a movie about the rescue of that ship's captain very soon after the election of Barack Obama. It was in April 2009. The only reason why I say very soon after the election of President Obama is I'm trying to place it. I knew it was right after he was elected, but I didn't know which month. And I wasn't even sure it was the year of 2009, but it was April of 2009, a story unfolding when four armed Somalis seized the Maersk Alabama, an American container ship, under the command of Richard Phillips, and they've made a film out of this, and they have, not only have they made a film out of this, but they've made a film starring Tom Hanks, and it looks pretty damn good. There's also a movie out called Parkland, and there's also a movie out called Rush. So, there's like three films based in absolute history that I really got to see, you know.
How do you know they were made historically accurate?
I don't. I don't know if they were or not. I don't know if these films are historically accurate. I don't know if these films are movies that take a lot of liberty with the whole thing. But we'll see, man. It's going to be a very, very interesting few months here in the fall months as well as the winter months with these films that are coming out that are telling, in my opinion, the most exciting story that can be told, and that is the true story. Rush, Captain Phillips, and Parkland. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. What?
That is the most jarring song.
That's our bumper music, our opening music. Thank you very much, bud. That'll be fine.
That was very jarring. It was very jarring.
Yeah, that's the Beatles.
That's the Beatles.
That was the Beatles. That sounded like absolute garbage. The Beatles are one of, if not the, most quintessentially perfect bands in the history of the world. One of them, and you're telling me that was the Beatles?
Yeah.
Well, that was pure garbage.
You can't call it garbage on it being the Beatles.
I'll call it anything I want. You're telling me that was the Beatles?
How many times you want me to tell you that was the Beatles?
Well, that was absolute crap. I refuse to believe it.
Do you see right there, Margaret?
I don't care what it says.
You refuse that belief.
You refuse to believe it's the Beatles?
Yes.
Why would you refuse to believe that?
Because that was rubbish. What is wrong with you? Are you listening to what I'm saying, or are you only hearing what you want me to say? I'm telling you, play it again.
Margaret, we got...
I said to play it again.
Oh, man. Okay, here.
Get it off! God almighty, that was crap. Crap! Crap!
Are you going to be okay?
No, I'm not.
This is the weirdest night, man.
Well, you want me to find out if she's okay? Need to go to a nut house or something?
Yeah, you want to find out if she belongs in a nut house? Yeah.
Because I happen to have an opinion contrary to yours on music.
Because your opinion on this particular song is not just contrary to mine. You don't even believe it's the band that I said it was, even though I'm showing you the name right there on the track on iTunes. You don't believe it's them.
I'm going to say this again to you, Phil. I'm sitting down very clearly. I refuse to believe that pure, unadulterated sewage like that is the Beatles. The Beatles were a great band. And you're not going to tell me that is excrement. That's something that ran runny out of someone's...
Boy, you are... There's something wrong with you, Margaret.
No, there's nothing wrong with... I happen to be a music critic. I am a musician myself.
You never heard the song Revolution?
I heard the song Revolution. I never heard anything as rancid as that. And when I say rancid, I mean something that is so foul and rotten that it has putrefied and liquefied.
Daddy, do that.
You dirty...
No!
Don't smack him.
Well, I did.
She's got a mental problem, man.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does. A mental problem. A mental problem. Doctors, nurses...
Nurses.
All of them. Ambulances, wherever you are, we need them because she's flipped her freaking lid. Captain Phillips, a movie... Now what do you want?
Play it again.
Get out of here, will you? Captain Phillips, a movie that insistently closes the distance between us and them, has a vital moral immediacy. It was directed by... I wish I could read this in English.
May I say something?
No, Margaret, we already got your opinion on the Beatles. This is mine. I'm going to do this.
Well, look at you.
Woo!
That's right, that's right. We got your opinion on the Beatles, that you don't believe they're the Beatles. And you just told me that... Let me ask you something, Margaret, just out of curiosity. Do you like the Beatles?
You know that I adore the Beatles.
All right. Tell me what band... I'm just curious. I want you to tell me what band is this one. What band is this?
Is that a joke?
No, it's not. No, it's not. What is it? What band is this?
Well, you're not going to tell me that's the Beatles. You're not going to do that.
Yeah, it's the Beatles.
You're a liar. You know what you are, Phil? You're a crawling liar. And I'm saying that, and I want that to be as offensive. You're a crawling, filthy, degenerate liar. But they
don't arrive. Does that not sound like Ringo Starr?
No, it sounds like someone's voice that they sped up. Listen. Does it mean you don't love me
anymore? That's the Beatles.
You're a degenerate liar. I'll just say that. You can keep telling me it's the Beatles, and I'll keep saying you're a degenerate liar.
Don't you even see that it says Beatle on a thing?
I don't care what it says, bud. You guys can write anything you want there.
Ms. Gray, I swear to God, Ms. Gray, I would not lie to you, all right?
No, you wouldn't lie to me unless Phil asked you to.
Ms. Gray, I swear to God, I swear, that's the Beatles. I can show you the file.
Let Robert show you the file. We have all the Beatles songs lined up.
I understand that you think it's the Beatles. I understand that Robert has the file. I'm telling you right now, I know music. And if that's the Beatles, then I have a penis.
Well, I guess you got a penis.
Yow! Try that again.
Don't go smacking him. You're the one that led him into that.
I didn't lead him into anything. Do I look like I... Don't answer that. I can ask Frank if I have a penis or not.
Which night is it?
Why, you dirty...
Well, hey. So you don't think that's the Beatles?
That's... Phil, if that's the Beatles, then my name... If that's the Beatles, then I'm John Lennon. I'm John Lennon back from the dead. I'm John Lennon reanimated with a bullet hole in my chest.
Oh, God!
Turn that garbage down. Turn the garbage down. Turn the garbage down. Thank you.
So not only do you not believe that that's the Beatles, you have to crap all over the memory of John Lennon with a comment like that.
I think John Lennon is... I think wherever John Lennon is right now, which is heaven, he's doing this. He's saying, yay for you, Margaret. Yay for you, Margaret. Thank God they're... Thank God.
Dave, go one more time.
No, no, no. Not one more time. Not one more time. She doesn't want to believe it's the Beatles, and she doesn't have to believe it's the Beatles, okay?
What about this one? Hold on.
Dave, if you keep telling me that this is the Beatles, I'm going to kick someone... I'm going to kick your testicles so far up, you're going to look like you've got two Adam's apples.
Oh, man.
I think that's funny, huh?
This is the Beatles.
Let me hear it. Oh, would you give it up?
All right, so...
I think what's been done here tonight is really a travesty. I know that you think you're funny. I really do. I really know that you think you're funny, and I think you think that you're entertaining people. But what you're doing, Phil, is dragging the name of one of the greatest musical groups in history, dragging it through fecal matter. You are literally dragging it through pig's fecal matter. And I'll say it again. If you want two Adam's apples, not one, go ahead and keep on pushing me.
Well, Margaret, if you threaten me with violence or anyone here, we'll have you arrested.
What a... Well, oh, okay, honey. Ooh!
Boy, that, think that makes them all sissy?
No, that doesn't make you guys sissy. You want to go shopping for your first bra? I think Phil needs to go shopping for his first brassiere. Maybe we ought to call it No Ears.
Get out of here.
He needs his mama.
You got to find out what's wrong with her, man.
Why me?
Because I ain't going to do it, and he ain't going to do it, because all he does is piss her off. You got to find out what's wrong with her, because she's flipped. She's flipped. If she thinks she knows music, and she keeps telling me that that ain't the Beatles, and she's telling you that, and she's telling a whole world of human beings that ain't the Beatles, buddy, there's something wrong. Something real wrong. It may be that Frank's gender confusion's wearing off.
How do you figure that, gender confusion?
I don't know. Maybe it's got something to do with the fact that there's some kind of a confusion thing. It might be genetic, for all I know.
It's not genetic.
Well, then what's your problem?
I don't have a problem, Phil. I happen to know music.
Come on in here for a minute, Margaret.
I'll get in there when I'm good and ready. If you don't mind, I'm still wiping.
All right. World famous. I'm telling you that for my money, and it doesn't have to be any. You know, we're not discussing anything that is earth shattering, but for my money, it doesn't take a big leap of faith. Will you turn that off, Bud? Please. Done.
Done.
Three guesses. Hold on.
For my money, it does not have to be a long.
All right then. Well, why don't you close the door around here, Phil?
How about you do that? How about you? That's what most people do when they're on the toilet. They're responsible for closing the door.
Well, I couldn't reach it.
Couldn't reach it?
That's right.
Can you sing a Beatles song?
I most certainly. Here's a Beatles song that I love. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what do 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 do. That one.
All right, we have that song. This one right here. Listen to this. This is I'm a Loser.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
What the hell is that?
That's the Beatles.
Well, I know this. That's not the Beatles.
Are you telling me that that ain't the Beatles?
Turn that off. Turn that garbage off. No, that's not the Beatles. I know the song. That's not the Beatles. Do you understand me, Phil? Nor, if you want to get right down to it, is this the Beatles? This isn't the Beatles. I know the song Lady Madonna. I love the song Lady Madonna. Lady Madonna, children at your boob. Do-do-do-do-do.
Wonder how you manage to make.
Well, maybe this is the beat. Is this Paul McCartney?
Who finds the money?
Yeah, that's Paul McCartney.
When you
hold on, turn it down. What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me that you getting your head wired and your ass wired together isn't going to fix, okay?
Phil, what are you...
I'm telling you that every song I've played for you has been the Beatles singing it. And you're telling me that's not the Beatles. That can't be. That's garbage. You know the song, but it isn't the Beatles, huh? Well, maybe it is the Beatles. There's something wrong upstairs, huh? Everything okay at home?
Everything's fine at home, thank you.
All right. Then get your head and your ass wired together.
How dare you use that language?
Well, excuse me, a moment ago you were talking about kicking somebody's testicles so far up in their neck that they've got two Adam's apples.
I thought that was... What's he laughing at? I'm going to kick his...
Hey! That's enough about that. About the Beatles and about multiple Adam's apples, if you don't mind. I want to get into the story here of Captain Phillips, okay?
Well, what's that about?
I just got done telling you. The guy in the Navy, okay?
Oh, Paul Greengrass. I love Paul Greengrass.
Great. So that's what we're going to do, folks, when we come back after we get done doing the rest of this falderall. Good God almighty. I'm telling you, world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com and online at philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're going to be bringing on the line here Dave Castorini in just a moment. We're playing a song right now, part of our bumper repertoire, I guess. I actually would have preferred to have used this as sort of an exhibit bud as opposed to a bumper. But nonetheless, we'll get Dave Castorini on the phone because we are going to be talking here about Andrea True. Andrea True was the singer on that song. And Reverend Castorini, how you been doing? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Phil, very good to talk with you.
Reverend Castorini has youth ministries in Phoenix, Arizona. That song that we were playing there, More, you're familiar with that song, right?
We are familiar with that song, and I wanted to use that song as part of our youth ministry outreach for the coming fall season. How Do You Like My Love? Only we were talking about Christian love.
Now, you got a problem with that because why?
Well, we don't feel we have a problem. I've got some parents of some of our youth ministers who have expressed their doubt that a song such as that is the kind of song that they want associated with a Christian ministry, the reason being that Andrea True was a adult film actress, and the song, they say, reflects a level of pornographic intent.
Doesn't it?
We don't think it does, Phil. I believe that you can reach people with any medium and with any material. If you listen to the song, she talks about how do you like my love, and that could be Christian love. And then she says, but if you want to know how I really feel, get the cameras going.
Now, how do you interpret that, Reverend?
Well, I think you can simply say, if you want to know how I feel, go ahead and let's roll it, and I'll go out and work at soup kitchens. I'll go out and I will volunteer to feed the homeless. I don't think it has to mean what you think it means. Excuse me, I've got a bad allergy.
Gesundheit.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Hold on for a minute. I have a little bit of an allergy. We've been working very, very hard. Maybe too hard.
Okay, but you're gonna be okay, right?
Oh no, I'll be fine. But what essentially I'm saying, Phil, is the song More, 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 which sounds like a woman who is having sex in front of a camera. It doesn't have to be that. It can be something else. It can be something that is Christian and can be something that is wholesome.
Now, Reverend, the song More, 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 How Do You Like My Love, is a very old song. It's an old dance song. So even if you were able to use that as a youth song per se, isn't the rhythm, isn't the style, isn't everything about the song outdated?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think it's a wonderful dance song. I think in our youth ministry, we can use any kind of music to reach out to young people. But I don't even think it has to do, Margaret, with a song that's necessarily outdated or a song that is necessarily... sounds like it comes from a pornographic film. I don't think that's the case. I think if it just is a good-sounding song and talks about love, I think that's the most important thing. Love is the most important thing. We use a song in our ministry that is all about love, and I've got a lyric sheet here for it, but let's listen to the music itself. I don't know if you can hear it, Phil, or not.
Hold on for a minute. Why don't we play that off? Let's just play that off of the phone line, but go ahead. Is that it?
Yes, is that the love song?
Yeah, that's the one he said.
All right, get Reverend Castorini back up here for us. Okay, Reverend Castorini, that song is a part of your youth ministry?
Yes, we think that's a song, Phil, that is one of a catalog of songs we use at our youth prayer circles, at our dances, and so forth, and we think it works very, very well. If you want me to get into a more quiet room, I guess I can to... so you can hear that song better, and I can comment on it.
Yeah, because we can't hear the music and you at the same time. We're talking here with Reverend Castorini of the Youth Ministry in Phoenix, Arizona. He's talking to us here about the use of different songs, some of which are rather suspect. Now, this song by Andrea True called More, More, More is an example of... Well, there it is. And Reverend, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah.
Okay. Here's the song. This girl was doing adult films back in the 70s.
That's right, Andrea True. But here, listen to the lyrics here. How do you like my love can be very Christian. If you listen, all right, now you can kill that, but if you wouldn't mind, if you listen to this other song, here's a song that is also about love, but there's no lyrics to it. So we thought we'd write lyrics, because we think it's contemporary.
This is also music from a porn movie, isn't it?
I think it is. But you know, good Christian love. I'm gonna go and feed the hungry. I'm not a very good singer, Margaret. Could you?
No, I don't think I'd want to. Well, I have to tell you, Reverend, when I hear that music, I can smell the sex coming through the door. I'm just being honest.
Well, that hurts because...
Well, it may hurt, man, but...
I'm telling you that, to me, that's music that can be used for... Well, okay.
Okay, bud, you can kill that, all right?
I think it sounds kind of nice.
Would you kill it? Okay. We're talking to Reverend David Castorini on his youth ministry. Well, a couple of the things they're doing, their prayer circles and their...
Hey, Phil, you know, I got a lot to do tonight, man. I don't have to sit here and listen to you and your friends there shoot coke through your nose.
Don't you think that when you play a song like this, it's not going to... You're telling me, in other words...
I think that is beautiful music that can evoke good Christian love if you have the right people listening to it. If you've got a lot of filthy minds sitting around and dreaming stuff up... like you and Dickman and the rest of them.
Well, don't put me in that mix.
Margaret, good Christian love. 1, 2, 3.
No. Mm-mm.
No is not the answer that I'm going to take, and no is not the answer. You know, neither.
I don't hear it. And thank you very much, Reverend Castorini, for your, opinions, but I just... Okay, bud, we've heard enough of that.
No, just good Christian love.
Turn it off! Reverend David Castorini, whose youth ministry will be traveling to Southern California next weekend, and if you want tickets, don't look at me, because...
Well, that's not very kind.
I'm not trying to be kind. I mean it. If you want tickets, don't look at me. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and of course we'll be online at philhenryshow.com this weekend with the NFL game of the week. We have our pro game of the week, I should say, with Steve Bozell and Ted Bell. World famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and welcome back here, our final hour. Just kind of a weird day, because weird show, weird day. Well, they're all weird, you know.
Well, you can say that again.
Yeah, they're all weird. The how weird this show gets, no one will ever truly know. Not even people that know me know how weird this thing is. Because even people that watch us on Phil TV and HD every night and watch me do this don't even know how strange it is, because they ain't in between my ears.
What's that mean? What does that mean?
In my head, man. Inside my head.
Inside his head, man.
In between the ears.
In between the ear. You're getting better, man, because there used to be a time when you'd say, in between your ear, meaning one ear.
What?
One ear. You never mind. So we had a really weird day. Thank you to Reverend Castorini for taking us on a tour of, what was that all about? Porn music? Did you hear that stuff that he was laying in there?
Yeah, well, he had me get out. I think some of it's very, can be used. I'm not sure whether or not. You see, I find this to be...
You find this to be what? Religious?
Well, I think it's an interesting idea, and there's no doubt that when women hear this music, it does motivate us, but does it motivate us in terms of religion? I doubt that.
Wait a minute, wait. What did you just say?
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, I'm not going to repeat it.
No. What did you just say about it motivates women?
When I hear music like this, yes, I feel myself do. It's very difficult not to. Here, listen to this. La-di-doo-doo.
And what are you imagining?
Phil, any woman that hears this music can imagine a gardener. You know what? Go to hell.
You can't laugh, man.
Oh, I'm not allowed to laugh? She back in the bathroom?
Yeah, I think so. I'll know for sure if I hear a toilet flush.
Yeah, that'll probably be the tip-off there, man. God.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Margaret, let me ask you a question while you're in there washing your hands.
I'm looking for the White Owls.
Would you get her the cigars, man, so she's not always going out there looking for them?
Margaret, told you got a box right here.
What's that about my box? Hello?
There's a box of White Owls in here. Not your box.
My box of White Owls, yes.
They're in here. Will you quit yelling? Are you a professional or are you not?
Don't you ever ask me that question.
I'm going to ask it again. Are you a professional or are you not?
Yes, I am.
Then you don't go walking in and out of the studio whenever you feel like it. Let's go use the bathroom. Let me go find the cigars. Let me come back in. You're the only female host in the history of radio in this country, maybe in the world, that gets up and walks away from a live mic and goes looking for a box of White Owls. I just...
See, there he goes. He's laughing again. Drop dead and rot.
No. If you leave this time, you're fired.
That is not fair.
No, it's totally fair. It's totally fair. Now, I laughed because you were describing that music.
Yes, and you laughed.
I did laugh because you said that a woman hears this and she's...
Oh, baby.
Well, Miss Binsway, it is pretty funny to say a woman hears this, she gets all romantic for a gardener.
A woman gets romantic for a gardener if she hears this. I didn't say all the time. Play it again, but thank you, bud. Now, I know there are women listening to me right now, and they hear this music, and they're thinking, dee 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 doo doo. You know, it's a very, very nice day. It's a luxurious afternoon. Yes, your husband's at the office or whatever he does, and the children. And you hear this, and you're thinking about a...
bottled water guy? Why are you shaking your head at that?
I think you're a better man than that, Phil.
Wait, why are you shaking your head at a bottled water guy, but not at the gardener?
Because when you said bottled water guy, you've got that little smirk on your face.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you've got a kind of smirking on it.
Wait a minute, wait, hold on. Turn it down, will you, bud?
Yes, sir.
Down, not up. When you say to me that when you hear that music, or any woman hears that music, she thinks of the gardener.
Well, I didn't say a gardener. I said you think of a man who's out, a workman around the house, yes.
What's wrong with a bottled water guy?
Because the way you said it was bottled water guy, and I can see that you've already hatched a real laugh bomb in your head that has completely taken out any sensible brain cell you've got left. All that's left is what the laugh bomb allowed to live. Never mind.
No, not never mind. I want the audience to hear you because you don't sound like you've got...
I sound more sensible than you.
You sound more sensible than me. Turn it off, bud, before I lose it, okay?
I'm just trying to make it relaxing.
Oh, that doesn't relax me, man.
Well, maybe it relaxes me.
What are you hearing when you hear that music?
turn it down. I don't want you to start playing hypnotist with me. Don't you think you're going to get into my subconscious?
When we hear music like that, the first thing that comes into my mind is porn movie.
Of course it does, because you're a man, and you imagine yourself to be someone who's digging ditches or laying pipe. Excuse the phrase. Or you're out front working in a sewer, or you're doing some filthy job, and you're just waiting for her, the lady of the house, to stick a hand out the door with the finger going, wagging this way, in the alluring manner, and then... Don't do that again, bud. I'm at a place in my life where a stretch in prison would be a relief. It really would.
Dad.
Not in my studio, you won't.
Well, then maybe I'll wait till it's good and dark and we're both well away from the station. Have you thought about that?
I just think that what you said right there will get me interested in calling the cops and protecting Bud's life.
I said maybe. What a... You know, you really are a P-U-S... A woman feels relaxed and romantic, and yes, she imagines a... She imagines a gardener or a man who is a chimney... Not a chimney sweep, but a man who's there to clean out a piper. You know that I was one of the first people to object to that commercial, that liquid plumber, where the two studs come to the door and say, "We're here to clean your pipes." I find that to be... I'm almost turned on by how bold that was.
It was pretty bold, there's no question about it. That liquid plumber commercial was I mean, you know... Bobby Dooley, in fact, is going to join us here in a couple of minutes to talk about the liquid plumber commercial and to talk about this... particular kind of music.
Well, are you saying she's got some personal... Wow.
No, I didn't say anything of the sort. Am I saying that about you?
Well, are you bringing me on as a guest?
I'm not bringing you on as a guest, Margaret, but you've been dominating this conversation throughout. Throughout.
No, I have not.
Throughout, you've been dominating this conversation. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at our number 855-507-4445. Remember, this month at philhendryshow.com, if you get a backstage pass, you get a free download. It's part of our Pastor William Renick Magic Bullet Month. It's Halloween-y, baby. And we will stick a treat in your sack at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So by all means, visit us over at our website and get that backstage pass. While you're there, go to our online shop and pick up any one of a number of gifts. You know, do you get gifts for Halloween?
Yeah, I sort of can.
Well, maybe.
Maybe you want to go as Ted Bell this year. So get your Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt. Hey!
That's not a bad idea.
There you go. Go to our website, get your official Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and then put on some kind of a Ted Bell mask, I don't know, and go as Ted, or go as some version of Ted. Go as Ted's kid. Go as, I don't know, just go. Whatever you do and whatever you think, just go, man. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect your 200, just go. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley coming up next. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful night here to talk just about anything. I mean, I've lost track of the things we've been discussing. I was in kind of a sour mood, but I've gotten much happier because we're going to bring on right now, and not that I don't mind having you here, or that I mind having you here, Margaret, but we are happy to get Bobby Dooley on the line because Bobby has been a busy, busy girl. And I do want to talk to Bobby, and I know that you're getting ready to rehearse or perform another one of your podcasts with your husband, Steve. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Phil, and thank you so much for having us on.
And I know that you were at the podcast festival, the L.A. Podfest. How'd that go?
Oh, we had a great time. We had Graham Elwood, who is the founder of the L.A. Podfest, and he was wonderful, and we talked to a lot of people. And we made a lot of friends, and it was really great fun.
And who do you have coming up now? You've been interviewing some amazing people from Henry Rollins to you know, to everybody, Joel McHale to Patty Arquette. Who do you have coming up?
Well, we're hopeful that we'll get Scott Ian of Anthrax. I met Scott along with you on Saturday.
Now, who is Scott Ian of Anthrax?
Well, he's a very well, Margaret, he's a very well-known singer, a musician with a band that is 20-plus years old, almost 30 years old.
Well,
you know, it's just something that...
Ladies, don't get into it, okay?
When she starts to...
When I start talking what?
When you start acting like you're all Hollywood.
I'm not acting like I'm all Hollywood, okay? I met Mr. Ian and his lovely wife, Pearl Adey.
Oh, you met his wife, too. And have they,
Okay, Margaret, stop.
You know what? This whole thing sucks on wheels. I'm going outside. I'm going to go get a shot and a beer.
What?
You heard me.
That's about her speed.
Yeah, that's right. You stay with...
Get out of here, Margaret. Go get your shot and your beer.
Do I have to listen to her?
No, she's out getting a shot and a beer.
Good God. Well, in any event, we are planning on having Scott on the program and others, so we think it's going to be very exciting. Oh, and Steve Brody, who is a great comic, and I know you're acquainted with him, Phil. So all in all, we're going to have a really good time, and it's going to be a really, really fun time.
All right. Is she really out getting a shot and a beer? Because she's supposed to be part of this segment.
No, I'm not.
Well, then would you come in here and not argue with people?
That was funny, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really funny. You're going to...
I was going to go have a shot and a beer, and I didn't go have a shot and a beer. What do you think of that?
Are you talking to me?
Maybe.
I think it was average. I'm interviewing Scott Ian of Anthrax, so...
Oh, well, I'm just so jealous. You know something, Phil? I have interviewed Tom Hanks. I've interviewed,
Tom Hanks? Are you going to go get a shot and a beer, or are you going to go smoke a White Owl...
No, I'm going to sit here and make your life a living, breathing, real hell on earth for the next few minutes.
No, you're not, because you're going to do what I'm asking you to do, and Bobby, you'll do the same, and we're going to listen to this music, and we're going to find out exactly whether it is exciting or thrilling or whatever it is, okay? So, if we can get this music now, Bobby, I don't know what's going on with her line. Call her back on a separate line. I'm going to get you on a landline away from where you are. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
Okay, we will call her back. And in the meantime, this is the music that we have been talking about that has been debated here. And Margaret, you have been discussing whether or not this is romantic music. Now, this is something that you and Bobby are not going to argue about, right?
I don't think so. I would think that any woman will hear this music and think, my God, what possibilities there are when you hear music like this. The possibility of a man in a plaid shirt... you're not going to get me to say it.
Okay, Bobby... Okay, now we have Bobby Dooley back on. Bobby, do you hear this?
Yes, I hear this.
What do you think of when you hear this music?
Well, I think of a relaxing afternoon and a man who... And when I say he's sweating on you, I don't mean on you, Phil. And I don't necessarily mean on me. What I mean is he's sweating on all of us women, the combined women of the world. Sweat drips from him onto me. And yes, that sweat may eventually give me a blemish or some kind of a skin breakout on my chest. But nonetheless...
I don't understand any of that.
The sweat, Phil, from the man.
He's sweating, and he's sweating on me, and it's causing pimples.
Well, will you turn this off for a second? What do you mean it's causing pimples? What is that supposed to mean? For a second, I thought we were talking about something romantic here.
We are talking about something romantic. We're just talking about a big, stupid ape. You know?
Phil, we're talking about... I thought you said we were going to be talking about romance.
We're playing this music because Pastor Castorini said that he felt he could turn that into religious music. Now, that's music from a porn movie. When you heard it, you said impossible. It reminds you of a gardener.
It reminds me of a gardener, yes. Who's not gardening, yes.
Okay, then I got Bobby Dooley, and she pretty much concurs, only now we're talking about not just a gardener, but a guy that's sweating on you, causing your skin to break out.
But it's romantic, all right?
If there's such a thing, Phil, and I know you're going to laugh... And I don't care. If there's such a thing as your skin breaking out, and when you look at it, you feel your heart quicken.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Okay? So...
You feel your heart quicken?
Yes.
When you see pimples on your skin?
Yes, because the filthy ape of a gardener... Well, I don't think there's a man out there that'll understand this.
I'll try to make you understand, Phil. This dirty, filthy ape of a gardener sweat all over you...
As he was having sex with you?
No, as he was making love to me.
And he's not your husband?
No, he's not my husband, and he has no future in my life. And he'll be gone just as soon as he's... Well, excuse me for putting it this way. He'll be out as soon as he's in.
Yeah, you got to watch that, because there's the FCC...
I'll do it, thank you. All right, so he's out as soon as he's in.
Yes, and it's all very, very romantic, and it's all very, very, I would say... It's hot, it's tropic. Yeah, listen, right here. And you're thinking of this big, filthy thing that comes through your bedroom window, leaves mud caked on the floor.
All right, get out of here, all of you. Just get out of here.
Phil, are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous, but this is not going in the direction that I want it to go in. I thought if you guys want to talk about romance, that's fine, but you're talking about your skin breaking out, some filthy animal crawling through a window and leaving mud caked on the floor, and,
Well, and so what's it to you?
Yeah, what's it to you, Mr. Henry? If the woman wanted to have a guy putting a dirty feet on her.
Putting his dirty feet on her?
Didn't say dirty feet, man. I'm talking about, like, if they wanted him to have, what do you call it, you know?
Sweat?
Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm able to speak for everybody.
Well, you're making people nervous, Phil.
Well, how am I making you nervous? How am I making you nervous? You're talking about romance in the one breath, and in the next breath, it's this big, dirty, filthy guy.
It's exciting. It's not a big, dirty, filthy guy, but it's a guy that comes in the bedroom window. He's not going to attack you. He's not going to hurt you. It's a romantic fantasy that women have, that a big, ugly, filthy thing... I can't describe it, Phil. It's very...
Well, try to describe it. I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that would like to hear this.
A lot of guys out there that would like to hear this.
Yeah, and especially guys that may want to break into some woman's house.
Now, you apologize for that right now.
No, you're the one that's saying it's a fantasy.
I'm not saying someone that I don't know. I'm talking about a guy that was cleaning the pool... Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You said the guy cleaning the pool, you said the gardener, you said a chimney sweep at one point, and then you took it all back and said, well, no, not really. So, no, I don't know what the hell it is you're saying, okay? What I'm asking you is does that music, the music right here, is that romantic, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because of the big, ugly creep that's
coming in. Through a window.
That's coming in through a window, yes.
That you know.
That I do know. And I've given him permission to come in the window.
Boy, this is really dangerous talk, Bobby, or Margaret.
Bobby! Woo! Well, that's a good fight.
I meant Margaret. That's dangerous talk, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's dangerous talk, because I'm not talking about someone that I don't know. I'm talking about a man that I know, and that I tell him, don't use the front door or the back door, break a window, and...
That's it.
Phil.
That's it. That's it. All right, real good. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will you turn that off, bud, before I flip my lid?
Anyway, I think it's kind of romantic.
It ain't romantic, man. Believe me. Trust me when I tell you that, okay? I don't care what Margaret or Bobby says about some filthy, dirty guy coming through a window. Is she still there? Bobby, I'm sorry to have to hang up on you. You know, it's just a matter of whether or not we are operating with good standards, you know?
Well, I'm not the one, Phil, that was talking about it. All I said was the music was very relaxing and reminded me. I'm the one that brought up a chimney sweep. I didn't say anything about a man that was cleaning a pool. I'd never have sex with a man that cleans a pool.
Only a man that cleans chimneys.
Yes, I think that's understandable.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much, ladies. We'll be getting back to you if we happen to have any openings.
What does that mean?
Never mind. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Online at philhenryshow.com. And our number is 855-500-7445. Don't forget, this is the month that we are giving away free downloads. and in our online store during this Halloweeny month. We got everything that you can actually concoct a Halloween costume out of, whether it be our Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts or our Phil Henry Show ball caps or our Bobby Dooley keychains, all kinds of stuff. We'll be right back.
Woo!
World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and our number 855-500-7445. So thank you very much, ladies. That was always absolutely just spectacular, man. Really something else.
Well, we try.
Yeah, you guys try, all right. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You can't be getting up.
I know.
You can't be getting up and walking out of the studio and going off to...
Yeah, you can't go out and take a dump.
Not taking a dump, you animal. I'm going and looking for cigars. You tell me that I can't strangle him, but I ask you, what better person, if not now, when, if not who, if not me?
If not who, me?
No. If not...
If not now, when, if not who, who? No.
If not now...
Are you talking about strangling him?
Yes.
All right. If not now, when... If not me, who?
You?
No, you!
You're gonna strangle me!
But I'm saying, Bud, I wouldn't strangle you, but I'm saying if I didn't do it, who would do it?
I'll do it. How about that?
Well.
Jeez. Yeah, Margaret. Well, yeah, I guess not quite up to the job, is that it? In the middle of all of this folderol, I missed out on telling you, and I'm not gonna miss out on telling you, because I'm gonna do it, whether, you know, it takes me the rest of the night. I wanted to tell you about this movie because I'm very excited about it. It's called Captain Phillips, and it is a film about this act of piracy, in the words of Captain Bligh. I want to report an act of piracy. Where the hell are my glasses, Bud, for God's sake?
Probably dropped on the floor someplace.
Anyway, an exciting film called Captain Phillips, a movie that insistently closes the distance between us and them. It has a vital moral immediacy, so says writer... Manola Dargis. Manola is the writer's name, okay? Not Mahanga Gia. You thought she was named after a river?
It looked like the river in Pittsburgh, yes.
No, her name is Manola Dargis. Mahanga Gia.
That ain't the name of the river in Pittsburgh.
Forget about the river in Pittsburgh, okay? The writer's name is Mahola. Her name...
Mahola, what a...
Manola. The story is based on chivalry, true events that unfolded in early April 2009 when four armed Somalis seized the Maersk, Alabama, an American container ship. We all remember this story. Under the command of Richard Phillips, the ship with an unarmed crew of just 20 sailors was hauling tons of cargo in hundreds of containers, including food from the United Nations World Food Program designated for African countries. To the Somalis, the ship apparently looked like a floating jackpot. What happened next played out in world news, and Captain Phillips went on to write with Stephen Taldy a plodding, straightforward book with the telegraphing title A Captain's Duty. I mean, it may be a plodding, straightforward book, but nonetheless, it is on the experiences of this man and the book that he wrote, Ms. Dargis, that the film was based upon. Why take a shot like that, you know?
Well, if the book is no good, Phil, the book's no good.
The book's no good, huh? This guy lived it. Maybe he ain't the greatest writer in the world, but I tell you something, to critique a book based upon the relative skill of the man's of a writer involved who experienced something that few of us in our lives will ever come close to, man, I think it takes a pretty good pair on her. Anyway, written by Billy Ray, the screenplay...
Billy Ray?
Yeah, the screenplay was written by Billy Ray, whose credits include Shattered Glass.
Never heard of it.
Well, so now we're going to start ripping him, too?
I'm just telling you, I never heard of it.
It opens with a postcard-perfect shot of a white Vermont house. Inside, Captain Phillips, played by Tom Hanks, is packing up and checking his route. He and his wife, a nurse named Andrea, Catherine Keener, who's there to underscore Phillips' decency, are soon on their way to the airport and murmuring about their kids, the future, and the changing world. Now, apparently, Hanks affects a, quote, broad Boston accent, read, you know, New England accent, And it's a little too hard on the ears for Ms. Dargis, so she doesn't like the accent, but she says the scene's intimacy and the couple's vulnerabilities immediately humanize Phillips. Now, the reason why the movie ought to be pretty interesting is it was directed by Paul Greengrass. Paul Greengrass, everybody likes to talk about as the director of the two Bourne movies, the second and third installments in the Bourne movies.
Yes, the Bourne. Hold on, I'll do it. The first one was the Bourne Supremacy. The second one was the Bourne Identity, and the third was Bourne,
Bourne Free.
Bourne Free? No.
No, it's not Bourne Free.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not Bourne Free. It was the Bourne Supremacy.
There wasn't a Bourne Idiocy, was there?
Not unless you're talking about the three of us, or the four of us, or how many of us are there? One, two...
Oh, wow.
Count much?
One, two, three, four. I'm sorry. The Bourne Idiocy.
No, the Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Free.
Not Bourne Free.
What was Bourne Free?
A totally different book. A totally different movie. A totally different decade. A totally different two generations ago. That's Bourne Free.
Well, what was that about?
It was about a freaking lion or something, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Bourne Identity, Bourne... Well, it doesn't make any difference. This guy was the director of two of those installments, Paul Greengrass. Now, the other thing that he directed, the other two films that he directed that I find far more fascinating were the United 93 film and the Sunday Bloody Sunday film. Did you see those at all?
I heard about them.
What Sunday Bloody Sunday?
He did a film Sunday Bloody Sunday, or it was called Bloody Sunday, I think. It was about an attack on a peace march in Ireland by the British Army. It was one of the most tragic, one of the most brutally tragic afternoons that ever took place in the history of the so-called Troubles of Northern Ireland. And it was one of those days that would not be long forgotten. Paul Greengrass is a great director in that what he uses sometimes is improvisational acting. He uses what he calls non-professional actors as well as professional actors. And he uses a improvisational document as opposed to a script. So when he made films like United 93, it was a movie that was entirely improvised, based not so much improvised as it was, in other words, the scenes were set and they knew where they were going in each scene, but the actors were creating their own dialogue as they went. And many of these actors had lived these events. Ben Sliney, who was the head of the FAA the very day that the events of 9/11 took place, also appears in United 93. Members of the Northeastern Air Defense System, NEADS, I guess is what they call it.
Is that what it's NEADS?
I think so. I don't know. Northeast Air Defense System. But that was a film that also had in its cast people who were on duty that day with that Air Defense System command and people that remembered what happened that day. With Bloody Sunday, I'm not so sure that that was the case. With Bloody Sunday, because the events took place so long ago, I don't think you had as many. But you did have, in that film, outstanding acting, unbelievable performances, unforgettable scenes, and all of it done in that manner of the improvisational, using that improvisational document and using the improvisational abilities of the actors. Now, I'm looking here at Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Ultimatum, and, okay, so those are the two?
Well, there were three.
What about Bourne Free?
There ain't no Bourne Free, okay? Forget about Bourne Free, man. It is not, it's not here.
Yeah, no, that you don't spell Bourne Free, B-O-U-R-N-E, man. Well, yeah, what do you mean?
Bourne, as in I was born, you were born, B-O-R-N, not B-O-U-R-N-E.
What?
Are you an idiot or something, Bud? Are you listening to them?
Here it is, Bourne Supremacy and Bourne Ultimatum. Those are the two. United 93 was in 2006. Then he did a film called Green Zone, which was a real piece of garbage. Just a stinker up one side and down the next.
I heard Green Zone was very good.
I heard it sucked on wheels. How about that?
You don't like it because it has a because it's anti of Iraq.
Whatever. And then we have this Captain Phillips. So Green Zone was the last film. Well, let's hope that Captain Phillips is far more on target than Green Zone, which blew a tree full of chipmunks.
You really've got a filthy mind, don't you?
I don't think that's a filthy mind. I think that's kind of a weird mind. But nonetheless, it looks like he makes a movie every 3 years, which is probably not a very good... Well, maybe it's a good idea. I don't know.
Probably depends. What do you mean, Phil?
I don't know. The first movie that he ever made was a movie called... I don't know what it was. He did a lot of TV. But this Captain Phillips ought to be pretty good, because he does direct an exciting movie. He's a very good director, and his movies are exciting. Whether or not you agree with whatever the point of view is, I thought that they... I don't know that I've seen the second two Bourne films. The first one I saw sucked.
Why is that?
It just sucked. I don't know why, other than to say that it wasn't believable. It completely was not believable to me. It had such a skewed political point of view that, look at man, if you tell the story straight up, the way it possibly is, as opposed to your fantasies about how it is, I can't watch a movie that is somebody's political fantasy. I'd much rather see a movie that has some basis, maybe in reality. You can let the viewer make up his mind, and let's go from there. I don't know, man. All right.
I don't understand what you just said, Phil, but I suppose...
Well, I'm sorry you didn't understand what I just said. We'll be right back here at world-famous Phil Hendry Show to wrap up, and philhendryshow.com. All right, welcome back here. It is the Phil Hendry Show. What else, man? What else? What else you got, man?
What do you mean, what else? What else do I have?
Well, what else? What's up with Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga?
Talk about Lady Gaga.
She had a hit record lately, or what, you know? What's going on with,
So in other words, you want a dog paddle to the end of the show?
Pretty much, yeah. No, but what is up with Lady Gaga?
She's selling it out on tour. She's kicking ass and taking names.
Now, that's what I was talking with Matt about during the break. I want to do a one-man show, and I know a lot of people have said, oh, you already said that, Henry, you're not going to do it. Yes, I am going to do it. Yes, I am going to do it. But it's changing forms as we speak. It's changing, it's morphing, it's metastasizing, all that weird, ugly stuff, you know.
Well, what is it, a one-man show or the thing from the deep? Is this the War of the Worlds again? Are we talking about something that came up out of the sewer system?
No, we're not talking about something that came up out of the sewer system.
Talk about a one-man show, you are.
No, you're not.
Well, Mr. Henry, look, I believe in your ability, but just don't make it so that your one-man show is something that people talk about and something will come out of a sewer system.
You don't want it to be a monstrosity.
No, I don't want it to be a monstrosity. How are we getting back around sewer system? I thought we were talking at the early part of the show about chud.
I don't know what chud is unless that's something that you throw up. Is that what...
No. Everybody know chud is a creature... You know.
No, everybody don't know that. I don't even know what that stands for, but it was a horror movie from the 70s about something that lived in the sewer system. The Republican Party has been badly damaged in the ongoing government showdown, ongoing government shutdown and debt limit standoff with a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. Now, NBC, I want to tell you something, and you probably already know this, but I'll just say it anyway. When you have a news agency like your own, and I don't necessarily disagree with you when it comes to the health care. Look, nothing that I've ever seen in my life has reflected more dumb, absolutely more dumb, just overall D-U-M-B as a state of mind than the debate on health care. I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork left and right, trying to outdo each other as to how stupid they can be when it comes to this. There was a really great essay that was written, and we posted it online. As a matter of fact, we posted it on our website. Not on our website. We posted it on our Facebook page. And I'm going to get to it, and I highly recommend that you read this. Okay?
Well, I know the one you're talking about. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, his name's like Tobias Durblin.
It ain't Tobias Durblin. If you don't know the guy's last name, don't make a name up, okay?
You do it all the time.
No, I don't do it all the time. No, I don't do it all the time. His name is Tobias Durblin. The guy's name is... I'll give it to you in a second here. But the fact is,
he wrote an outstanding essay, and he pointed out something that either you want to accept this as fact or you can just be a total ass. You know, in other words, you can accept it as fact or you can just deny that life exists as we know it. I mean, what else can you say to people? What else are you supposed to say to people? You say, all right, here's something, read this, what do you think? Well, no, I don't believe it. Now, I'll give you the name of this chap. His name is Tobias Buckell, B-U-C-K-E-L-L.
That's the guy, and it's about Reagan had already socialized health care.
Well, what happened was, in 1986, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act became law. It was passed into bill. It was passed into law. It was signed by Ronald Reagan in 1986. Up until 1986, hospitals and doctors could turn people away if they didn't have the money, so could emergency rooms. Up until 1986, in the United States of America, hospitals could turn a dying person away at the door if they didn't have money or refused to treat them. This is a fact. As you can imagine, costs were kept down. Now, as I say this, I know there's people turning their radio off. They don't want to hear it. This is what characterizes the healthcare debate more than anything else. People don't want to even know the truth. They just want to keep going along being dumb. All right. In 1986, Republicans passed EMTALA. What did EMTALA do? The Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. What did it do? It socialized health care and made emergency rooms just like police or firemen or roads. It said people showing up on a doorstep of an ER dying could not be refused treatment. Understand? They could not be refused treatment. Why did this happen? Because patients were being literally dumped by hospitals to prevent having to assume the expense of treating them. Congress passed EMTALA to combat the practice of patient dumping, i.e. refusal to treat people because of inability to pay or insufficient insurance, or transferring or discharging emergency patients on the basis of high anticipated diagnosis and treatment costs. Understand, folks, up until 1986, that's exactly what they did. Kicked your ass out into the street. The law applies when an individual has an emergency medical and a request is made on the individual's behalf for examination or treatment for a medical condition. Here's what that looked like on the ground. Ron Anderson, MD, president and CEO of Parkland Memorial Hospital and Hospital System in Dallas, was the medical director of the emergency department of Parkland in the early 1980s, and he knew all about dumping. I would see patients transferred with knives still in their backs, or women giving birth at the door of the hospital simply because they were uninsured. These and many other shocking incidents caught the attention of the CBS investigative show 60 Minutes, which on March 17, 1985, broadcast an episode titled The Billfold Biopsy, about dumping unstabilized patients at Parkland. And so, basically, Ronald Reagan set up hospital emergency rooms as socialized health care, saying, you must treat. Here's the only difference between Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama. Ronald Reagan didn't fund them. Ronald Reagan said, there's no way to pay for them, and I'm not about to force that down the taxpayers' throats. What I'm going to do is force you people to treat them, and you figure out a way to pay for it. Sound good to you? Apparently not, because guess what? Healthcare costs since 1986 have gone into the trillions per year. And what have we done now? Well, we've said that that's all... I've talked to more conservatives. I'm telling you right now, I've talked to more conservatives who have said to me, I don't have health insurance. And I've said to them, well, what are you going to do if... Well, I'll find a way to pay for it. You will, huh? I'm supposed to take your word for that. Is that right? Well, I'm not going to have Obama tell me that I got... Well, okay, you don't have to have Obama do anything, man. But I'm the guy that's going to pay for you, because guess what, jackass? I've got health insurance, and I do pay my taxes, and I do pay my medical bills. I pay my bills, period. And I'm going to wind up paying for your ass, because they're going to pass that along to me. And you ain't a Mexican. You want me to believe the whole problem is caused by Mexicans. I'm telling you right now, folks, this is a problem caused by a very compassionate act on the part of a president, Ronald Reagan, who needed to... He said, we have to have a law that ensures that people get treated, but I'm not going to tell you how to pay for it. I'm sure as hell not going to pass a tax. I'm just going to enforce this. As the president of the United States, as the head of the executive branch, here's the law, and my job is to enforce it. I can't afford it. Tough. So along comes Barack Obama some 20-plus years later, and he says, well, we got to find a way to pay for this. And guess what? He's a socialist. He's a communist.
and every other stupid-ass description that you can make, you make. Okay, so the system has gotten distorted, the costs have gone up, an Affordable Care Act that lets freelancers and people in between jobs get health care, lets people outside of large corporations get health care, lets small businesses get health care, and this is communism. But forcing a hospital to treat somebody, even if they can't afford it, even if the person doesn't have medical insurance, because the law says that they must, that's good old-fashioned Republican politics? I don't... Do you understand that? Because I don't, man. That's the Republican solution, in other words, as far as it was under Ronald Reagan, was to pass a law, force people to treat people who are needing hospital care, and not help them pay for it. That's okay. No, it ain't. No, it's not, folks. We're living with the results today. It's destroying our economy. I'm Phil Henry.
What a blowhard.
I'm a blowhard, but you're the liberal?
Yeah.
World famous Phil Henry Show. See you tomorrow night.